5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Well, one of the big things for the Broncos this week was Nathaniel Hackett, or the Broncos organization, hiring veteran NFL assistant Jerry Rosberg. And here's Nathaniel Hackett talking a little bit about the coaching staff and specifically that move.
Yeah, Jerry was great. We had been evaluating everything on how we have been managing things up to that point. I wanted to be sure that I was able to be an efficient play caller for Russell in the offense. And so we were able to bring Jerry in, and for the quick time kind of turnaround of getting him here, I thought he was spectacular. You know, he was up there. He was informing me whenever we potentially had fourth downs. And again, he's there because I typically want to be a little more aggressive, and he kind of held me back, especially that fourth and inches. I was very tempted to want to go for that, but, you know, he was just talking about it, and our defense was playing so well. We were able to punt it. Corliss did an amazing job and made him drive the field, and we got the ball back and then had that winning score. So I think it's just about gaining the knowledge from everybody on the staff. I think we've got a great group. And I'm getting the right information, and that's all I can ask for, and very happy that he's here.
Sounds like it was his move. I don't know. There were rumors, of course, that maybe it was more of a George Payton said, hey, you need to bring a guy in like this. But if it's Hackett's hire, then I love it. I mean, I love that he recognized he's having a few game issues. Now ultimately, Angel, I guess if you win, you win. I don't care how you do it. But I guess I would have more respect for coach down the road if it's like, hey, we wanted to go for it on fourth down. I decided against it, or I decided to go for it. But right now, I think it's a good move. I mean, our biggest concern when Vic Fangio was hired, the first question we all asked, like, oh, you're going from the booth to the field. You're up there watching it all, the tiny little pieces like a chess match laid out in front of you, and you get to calmly just call, hey, let's run this defense. Let's run this defense. Hey, you're not worried about timeouts. You're not worried about going for it or not going for it. You're not worried about whether or not to accept a penalty that makes it a long third down, or just don't accept it that makes it a fourth and five to kick a field goal. All of those little in-game decisions that just build up as the game goes, we asked that question about Vic. Now, if Vic would have brought in somebody, who knows? He might have had somebody say, hey, you have two timeouts left against Tennessee. Use one of them right now. Use them on the north side of the two-minute warning. Let's go. Hackett recognizes that he needs to be able to view the game through his lens, call the right plays, which I think he's a good play caller. I think we're going to see it. Now, again, just a lot of those plays, there wasn't the execution. You know, dropped passes. Offensive line gave up a sack or whatever. It's not that the play calling in that game was the issue. In fact, when they hit, dudes were wide freaking open. That's got to be play design, right? So hiring Rosberg, to me, was like, hey, I know I'm the head coach. I recognize a weakness here. You're going to come help me get this right. And maybe next year I don't have to worry about this anymore. I mean, they just brought him on. It was like, what, Saturday night or something. Felt like it was like Sunday morning. They brought this guy on, but I don't think it shows a sign of weakness or that the coach is incompetent or anything like that. I think it show. I got more respect factor for him. Now, again, in 2 years or a year, you know, ideally your coach is just good enough and he doesn't need a guy like that. But a lot of guys have guys like this. This isn't a new thing in the league.
No, we talked about it a little bit last week, discussing the miscommunications on the offense, and we were wondering, what is going through Hackett's mind when he's getting ready to make a call or he's making the call? And you heard him there. He said, you know, he wants to be aggressive. He, you know, he was going to go for it on fourth and inches. And Jerry told him, hey, no, don't do that. Just, you know, kick a field goal or just punt or something. And I wonder now how much of that communication between Hackett and Jerry is happening while the play call is getting in, or if Jerry is just doing it for situational things.
Yeah, because you don't want him in your ear the whole time.
Right, you don't want Jerry talking to Hackett,
no.
Hackett talking to his OC, and yep, then getting the play to Russell.
You don't want him, like, on second down, hey, I really think, you know, if you don't get this here, pass it deep, or if you, you know, whatever. Like, I think it's just going to be those fourth and inches on your own 40. What are you doing? Your defense is playing lights out. Punt it. Or your defense has been struggling. Go for it.
I think maybe it's just Nathaniel on the headset saying, hey, Jerry, I'm going to think about doing this. What do you think? Yes, no? Okay.
Yeah.
Real quick.
And it's got to be quick. Like, Jerry's, and that's got to be the thing. Because if he's not quick, there's no point in having you. So it's got to be, hey, 4th and inches on our own 30 or on 34. What do we do? Punt it. Don't explain. Just punt it. And then that's got to be up to Hackett if he'll accept that advice or not. And again, I imagine there will be times where he won't accept that advice. There's going to be games where Rosberg's going to say, hey, go for it here, or don't go for it, or don't kick the field goal. And Hackett's probably going to disagree, and then you wonder how. But we won't know all that stuff. You know, we're not going to know all those decisions. Hackett's not really going to be. Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he is the kind of guy that would say, hey, you know, we decided to kick a 58-yarder instead of going for it on 4th and inches, and Rosberg said to go for it. I said to kick it. We kicked it, missed it. That's on me. Are we going to get that? I don't know. Hackett seems like a pretty honest dude. He might actually give us that. Dixon texting in here, kind of on what we're talking about. Brady, is it just me, or does this Denver-Vegas matchup feel like a battle of who gets the first, who's going to be the first to have the get-right game? Both teams have kind of been off tilt through the first 3 weeks and not yet living up to expectations. Feels like one of them should figure things out, and this might be the week. Yeah, well, and the Raiders, have the Raiders played better than the Broncos in their last 3 weeks? I mean, they're putting up more points. Their offense is, I mean, it looks like they can move the ball much better. They scored 22 against the Titans. They scored 23 against the Cardinals. They scored 19 against the Chargers. Does feel like they're moving the ball. So is it fair to ask? Defensively, no. I think there's not many teams that are playing better defense than the Broncos. But offensively, I think the Raiders have things figured out more so than the Broncos. And that probably is because of who your quarterback is right now. He's used to being a Raider. Now, again, it's a new coach and all that stuff, but still, this is his element. This is his world. Russell's still kind of the new kid on the block.
Yeah, but the Raiders are very interesting. They lost that Cardinals game on a freak fumble that got taken all the way back in overtime. That's, you know, kind of tough. The Titans game, they were there at the goal line going for two to tie, and they just couldn't get it. So they're in their games. They're playing competitive. They're putting up points, as you just said. And it's going to be, and I like Dixon's point, who's going to have their get back or get right game first? I think the Broncos kind of have an edge because you have some momentum from that fourth quarter against San Francisco that you can take with you while the Raiders are trying to figure out, okay, we got to do everything we can to win this game.
Well, that's the thing with Denver. They're 2-1, and I'm saying this right now. I feel much better about this team than I did a week ago, so I feel better about saying this right now. We ain't seen anything from the Broncos. We ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm telling you, the way I feel about Denver right now is it is going to be a slow build. And it's going to be, oh, that, okay, defense was good there. Oh, they got some good plays. Oh, they scored 17 this week. They scored 20. And then the next week, it's going to be like, wow, it's starting to get easier. We're figuring Albert Okwuegbunam's getting involved. Jerry Jeudy's so damn wide open that he has no choice but to catch the ball. We're starting to see, oh, and the play action's working. I agree. Brian was on yesterday. Kent Field did a great job filling in. I liked his take about, are these first 4 weeks for some teams going to be kind of like a preseason look? Whether you agree or disagree, teams might be not viewing it as that way. I'm not saying a head coach goes into 4 weeks and goes, these are experiment games.
No, it's not intentional.
No, it's not intentional, but this is how it is. You know, the larger scale with CSU and for air raid, that is going to take time. Those of you, including me, that said, ooh, for air raid, you go from Steve Adazio, let's run for 2 yards, let's run for 2.5, let's run for 3, to what they're supposed to be is a huge difference. And we don't give it the respect it deserves sometimes. I think we just assume, oh, bada bing, you go from that team to this team instantly. And then the NFL, you have a brand new head coach, you have a brand new head coaching or a brand new staff, a new quarterback that's never been anywhere else. This kind of stuff is going to take time. So the fact that they're 2-1 while they're figuring it out is actually very encouraging compared to where we were, you know, after the Houston game. I'm very encouraged by this. It was frustrating, but they got it right. Their defense is good enough to allow you to find yourself. Now, if your defense wasn't that good and you're losing, I think the fans are going to be a lot less patient with you trying to find yourself offensively. Fortunately, George Payton has built a really good defense from a lot of guys we don't know or we didn't know about, you know, to start the season or the season last year. But you also have some guys that are stars in the making. You know, Patrick Surtain, that guy is a star. He may not get interceptions, but first off, they're not throwing to him a lot. He's also knocking balls down because he's playing aggressive as a corner. He's not playing off a guy as much. Josie Jewell is good. Bradley Chubb, doing all right. Randy Gregory, love, man, some of those moves he put on. He's getting after the quarterback now. I love that. You're seeing guys on this team that are rising to the occasion, and that is giving this Broncos offense more time to kind of find themselves and figure this out. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. It's Top Text Tuesday. Dixon's kind of in that mix right now for getting the $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. Could be you. Again, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to today in the National Football League. Bad news from last night. As you mentioned, New York Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard suffered a torn ACL on his left knee in Monday night's game against the Cowboys. That's what Dable said this morning. The injury will end his season and maybe his time with the Giants. He's been on this roster longer than anybody else. He's in the final year of a restructured deal. Good player. I'd like to see him in a Broncos uniform. I'd like to see him in a blue and orange. That would be nice. That Broncos will be needing. Assuming Josie Jewell and KJ Hamler don't finally live up to expectations, Broncos are going to be in the market for a receiver, whether that's in the draft or that's through free agency. But bummer for him, man. That one's tough. Clay Matthews says he had hoped to finish his career with the Green Bay Packers. He always thought he would play his entire career with Green Bay, even though he left after 10 years. He played the one season with the Rams. He wanted to go back one more year. He was the Packers' all-time sack leader. Says he's now at peace with the entirety of his career. Man, Clay Matthews was a great player.
He's a beast.
Hall of Famer.
He was like a face of the NFL for a while.
Oh, the hair, everything. Like, he was so good. Hall of Famer?
Yes.
You passed the test.
Didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of hair, you got to be in. Hall you got to be in some kind of
Hall
of Fame.
Well, he leads his team in sacks. Like, you're a leader of one team in sacks.
Very historical team, too.
Yeah, so I think that, yes, he's a Hall of Famer. So cool. I just like that story. You know, just him talking about him being at peace with his career. He wanted to end it there. Didn't like the way things ended with Green Bay, but ultimately he was happy. You know, with his situation. Rashawn Slater, torn bicep, out for the season. Angel mentioned that earlier. Linebacker Joey Bosa is week to week. And then, you have Herbert, who's kind of trying to battle his injury. It's, you know what, in this tight, crazy AFC West, injuries certainly aren't helping. So you have injuries going on with the Chargers. You have Patrick Mahomes yelling at Eric Bieniemy on the sidelines. You had to have your head, Andy Reid, break them up, essentially, get Patrick away. Yeesh. You're not thinking I'm too crazy right now for my Chiefs going to finish last in the West thing. Now, the Raiders are probably on pace there, but I'm not too far away. I'm not sold on this Chiefs team. I just don't know, Angel. I mean, Tyreek Hill was a big asset to them. Patrick Mahomes doesn't look right at times, and now you have issues with the play calling. So this AFC West, injuries to the Chargers, drama to the Chiefs, and no wins for the Raiders. And Josh McDaniels, it's been a long time since he's won a football game as a head coach, which I think Broncos fans are totally cool with. As you mentioned, this one, Bucks officially are relocating to South Florida ahead of Hurricane Ian. They will hold practices at Miami facility. Now, officially practices, it's looking like we may have that game play somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think Miami is the location for that game. They play at Hard Rock Stadium there, so It would be a little weird. I know the Chiefs have played in Miami. They played there for the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Tampa is obviously in Florida, so they're going to be used to it. So, weird venue change for the Sunday night game.
Yeah, what a scare. Hopefully everybody just, you know, take those reports seriously. My brother-in-law lives in Naples, so we're freaking out. Of course, my mother and father-in-law were there. They went to go see him. They weren't supposed to come home until Saturday. They left. They're back home now. So, obviously that was tough for them, but, you know, it was better for my brother-in-law, like, to say, hey, you guys get safe, get out of here. We're kind of trained in this stuff. We know what we're doing now because they've been there for a few years. Scary stuff. So hopefully everybody just takes those reports seriously. Do what they tell you to do. Don't fight it. Don't hold out. Whatever. Just be safe. Last one, New England Patriots quarterback Mac Jones is dealing with what doctors have diagnosed as a severe high ankle sprain that would cause him to have surgery, according to Adam Schefter, likely to miss multiple games. That is, boy, that's going to be tough for the Patriots to come back.
Oh, it's a big blow for them. They've already kind of been struggling this year. And, you know, losing a young quarterback like Mac, that's tough for them. They don't really drafted a rookie in last year. I think they have another veteran on their bench. But if you don't have a quarterback, it's going to be tough. You don't want to go into your rookie. You might go sign some free agent out there. Is Cam Newton available? Or Ryan Fitzpatrick out of retirement? Something.
Yeah. You might. Yeah. Get Fitzpatrick back. Get him back. 22 minutes after the hour. Guess who ranks top five in a position group for the Denver Broncos? I'm going to tell you who on the other side, and it gives you more, should give you more optimism about this Denver Broncos team going forward. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who would win if they played this year? CU or CSU on the football side of things, of course. Who would win that battle? That interesting, you know, must-see television battle. It's funny. It's kind of, it would be must-see. I guess, like, okay, let me ask you this. Would people go to this game?
I think your diehard fans on both sides would go, maybe your season ticket holders.
Like if it was, let's say it was scheduled for this weekend, and so we know how historically bad both teams are. You know, the CU losing by a combined score of 173-47, CSU 164-43. So we know all that. It's really, 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 really bad. Maybe as bad as it's ever been for both teams. Knowing that, and if they were playing this weekend, would that draw more of a crowd? Would you be like, hey, dude, let's go get some beer and go watch this crap show?
Where are they playing? Mile High, CU, CSU, neutral?
Let's say they're playing at Mile High, and I know they stopped doing that, and they stopped doing the every year thing, too. I get that, but they're playing at Mile High. Or better chance to play up here. Better chance to play at Folsom. Better chance to fill the crowd.
Put them at Nottingham just for fun.
Yeah.
Neutral site.
Fill that. Would you go if like the tickets were reasonable? Is that something that's appealing to you? Going to see bad football?
If the tickets were under $20, yeah. I'd be like, all right, I'll go for an hour. I'll watch the kickoff. I'll watch the animals run. And
yeah, watch Ralphie and then Cam
run.
I think he just kind of walks out there. They just kind of walk him out there. Dude, get a ram that's like, Get a wild ram, right? Can't control that thing. Just let it loose. See what happens.
Oh, just a wild buffalo makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but they have him like, you know,
harnessed,
and they have Cam harnessed, but Cam's not going anywhere.
Cam's like on a little dog leash.
Cam's fine. He's not moving. Go get one of those rams you see like in the mountains, in those pictures you see where they're like popping each other's head. Get one of those bad boys. Controlling again is going to be the issue. But yeah, now you're getting crazy. Let's go get crazy with that. Watch the ram and the buff go at it. Or the bison go at it. I don't know. As a media guy, I would go. because it's an interesting story, but I don't know if I'm paying anything to go see that game. I don't know. As I'm talking about it, I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, go see bad football. It'll be historically bad. Now that I'm thinking about it, nah, not really.
Probably wouldn't be that funny.
I don't think so. So who's winning that game, CU or CSU? Go vote at theholeshow.com. It's also Top Text Tuesday. Keith texting in saying, who cares about that game? It'd be worse than watching Broncos 49ers. Now, let me just say this. Broncos 49ers, I was on the edge of my seat. Like, I was on the edge of my seat watching this game, wondering what was going to happen. You had a great defense coming up with big plays, and then you got to see Russell Wilson cook. I'll be honest. Yeah, the game was tough throughout, but it ended up with some fireworks. It actually was kind of exciting.
Yeah, and even Russ, and I know Hackett said that it kind of felt like a playoff atmosphere. The crowd was really into it after what had happened the week before with the crowd.
Oh, yeah, the crowd
did
great.
Big difference. And you said they would mention it on the broadcast, and they did, but I only heard it once.
And I didn't. They weren't a factor. My concern was that Broncos. They must have heard me, Angel. My concern
was
listening,
of course.
Of course. My concern was that Broncos country would think they were cute and just started out counting down. But I got to admit, I underestimated you. Because you are good enough football fans that you went to that game going, no, no, no. This isn't about cuteness. This isn't about being funny and being a fan base that's getting popular in the tabloids. This is about winning a football game. We go to these games. We pay our money to go watch our team win a football game. We did what we had to do last week, and it was weird, but we did it. We sent a message. We're coming out here to win a football game. And I got to say, hats off to Broncos country. Like I said, maybe next time I'll estimate them. Because I underestimated them.
Did hear a couple boos early on in that game.
There were some boos.
And granted, 4 3-and-outs, I would be booing too. That's frustrating.
Yep. Yeah, there were some boos, but it wasn't like I thought it was going to be.
The game ended, you feel a lot better. Like, okay, boo, whatever.
Yeah, that's fine. But I was totally wrong on that. I thought they'd come out trying to be funny. And you'd hear a majority. You know there were some fans doing it. We just couldn't hear them. They weren't loud enough.
You heard it once, but barely.
Barely.
It was like 5, 4, 3,
it wasn't like 70-plus thousand in unison doing it. It was, you know, you barely hear it if you heard it at all. And that means that the majority of fans said, hey, we're coming here to work, man. And that's why I said, like, when Justin Fields did his crap about fans don't put in the time and the work that we do, that's bogus. These guys work their butts off. People work their tails off, whatever job you're in, to go get tickets to these games, to buy the jerseys, to go watch your games, to cheer you on, to let you have it when you need to make that a fun place to play, or at least a tough place to play. And I don't like disrespect to fans. I mean, it just, and again, fans, it's a two-way street. I don't like disrespect to players either when you're throwing stuff out on the field, doing crap like that. But it really rubs me the wrong way when you have a player, you know, that you're rooting for that says something. Like Drew Locke even did it. You know, hey, the fans haven't played this game. They don't know. I don't like that stuff, dude. You know, you're here to entertain us. You're here to entertain us. That's why you make great money, because we pay the money to go see you. If we stop doing that, you don't make the money anymore. So I'm proud of Broncos country.
Let's just say it was that 2 o'clock crowd, not the Sunday night crowd. It's a little different.
It's true.
They had time to, you know, have dinner and digest.
and be like,
sober up a little bit.
Got a few drinks. Here we go. Let's go. Big dub, though. That was a huge win for the Broncos. Finding a way to do it on national television. No real embarrassing moments. I mean, you had a stagnant offense for most of that game. But not like you didn't walk away from any of that game going, holy crap, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything so bad. And I think that was a big takeaway. And you found a way to win by not playing your best football. So big, big victory there on all scale.
I'll ask you this, kind of closing up that game. What'd you think about the uniforms? The all blue.
I like orange. I like their orange ones. So, I mean, I'm not for the all blue. I'm okay with it.
They're nostalgic for some.
But I go back to what John Elway started his first year here as VP. Or GM or whatever, was he called it Orange Sunday. So every Sunday, we're going to be out in orange. We want the crowd to be orange. We're going to be on our orange. And then on the road, we're in our, you know, obviously different there. maybe a special retro jersey once in a while, but it's orange out. I like that because what you do, and I wish the Nuggets would do this. Stop throwing out 4 million different uniforms. Let's get one so that we can get the fans to wear it. Look what Golden State does. Golden State, their fans are in sync with them. When you go to a Golden State Warriors game, they're all in the same. They're all wearing yellow. They're all wearing whatever, maybe white, whatever. They all have the same colors, and that is intimidating to your opponent.
Even seeing it on TV, it looks like, wow, that crowd is for this team.
And then
saw what Tennessee this last weekend, they did the stripes or the checkerboard on Neyland Stadium.
Love
that looks awesome.
When you can get a fit. Look at the Nuggets. Watch the Nuggets game and look at the crowd.
It's very homogenous.
And I'm to blame, too. I go to a game, I just grab a Nuggets shirt. I don't think about, what are we wearing tonight? Because the Nuggets have 500 jerseys. Just declare it, man. Run out there. It's Nuggets blue, whatever, baby blue. And here's your free T-shirt to everybody. Or you just say it so people know what to wear. And that creates such an environment. That's one thing I'd love to see for the Nuggets. You know, we're talking about players and all that stuff. I would love to see this fan base make Ball Arena a hard place to play. Mile High being up, that makes it a hard place to play. But add more to it. Let's get freaking loud this year. Let's get after it if you're going to games.
Two-time MVP.
Yes.
Murray's back. Michael's back. Bones is ready to come up.
You're bringing in Bruce Brown, who's going to bring the defensive noise. You got a promising rookie in, what is it, Christian Brown, Braun? It's Brown, I think, but it's spelled like Braun. His mom's cool, and like that's fun. That's a fun story there. DeAndre Jordan is funny.
Apparently he's fine. He can still jump.
He can jump, and he can dunk, and he can run. It's amazing what these basketball players can do. And Aaron Gordon. Like, that guy could be the glue to this whole thing. If he can do what he did late in that series, he can run the boards, come up with those big putback dunks. Like, that's going to be him. So, again, make this Ball Arena thing a blast to go to and make it difficult for visiting teams. Own your arena, your fan base, all of it. Let's get after it. 37 minutes after the hour, let's get out and get the latest on local sports flash.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Dwell County Swami texting in on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's hard for fans to get supportive when the owner of the Nuggets doesn't care enough about the fans to get a TV deal done. I have DirecTV, so.
Well, for those of us that don't have it.
You have other ways to get it, don't you?
There are other ways to watch your team play basketball. Not entirely approved by most, but
there are ways around such systems.
Sure.
Don't ask me about my business.
We have technology.
Yeah, don't
Can't
ask me.
Can't be limited by the internet.
I'm just saying it. I know I sound like a jerk. I sound like a rich jerk. Oh, I'm so rich I have DirecTV.
What's the view like in your ivory tower?
It's great because I'm watching DirecTV.
I'm sorry.
Oh, do you want the Nuggets score? I can give it to you.
I could give that to you right now. Hold on. Let me drink my tea, although it's from like a styrofoam cup.
Oh, you like the Avalanche as well.
I'll watch that as well.
If you don't have it and you haven't had it, go get it. Because I'm telling you, if you have faith that the Kroenkes and Dish and Comcast are going to get done, I'm here to tell you. Not happening. Not anytime soon.
Does Kroenke have ties to DirecTV in some way?
I don't know, probably.
He's just trying to funnel money over to there.
What was the deal? I heard that DirecTV offered something, though, that they wanted, like some kind of HD thing. I don't know. Some kind of way to watch the game. I don't know. But that's the brass tacks of this whole thing. I get it. You're frustrated, but it's been going on. Was it two seasons now? If you're that big of a fan, go change. Now, on the other side of that text, like, it's hard to get supportive. You can still go to games. How many times are the UNC Bears games on TV? How many times are the CSU Rams on TV? They're not always on TV. You can still be supportive and go down and watch games. In fact, that would give you an opportunity to see them. Now, I never tell people what to do with their money. This is the state of Colorado. You can go basket weaving in the mountains, or you can go look at elk and mountain goats in the foothills.
You could buy a cow.
You could buy a cow. You could run track. You could get on a bicycle. I mean, you could do so many things. You can go watch countless football games. There's tons of high school games and local college games. You can be a pro guy and go watch the Broncos, Avs, Nuggets, Rockies. You can go see all those things, the Rapids and stuff. Like, you can go to Denver, everywhere. You can do stuff here. So, I get it. There's a lot to do, but, you know, if you're a sports fan, this is a fun time to invest. Texter, but the money would be going to the a-holes who won't get a deal done.
At that point, if you already have it, there's no deal to get done.
Right.
If everyone has DirecTV, then there's no need.
Yeah, and I guess for the most part, I don't really live my life like, oh, my money's going to that guy. I don't really like if I like it, I like it. I'm going to buy it. If I'm into it, I'm into it.
It's just numbers on a screen.
Brady, do you know that the person you're buying that from is like a terrible person? How terrible are we talking? How terrible?
Have you ever met him personally?
Yeah, and how terrible?
Have you had dinner with him?
Because I'm liking this product and I want to own it. Did you ever see Modern Family? That show is hilarious.
I've seen clips of it.
The dads, they're a couple, and they're like, the friends are trying to get them to protest this burger joint and stuff, and they go in and they're like, this is our favorite burger joint. They didn't tell us the name, so they go in, they eat, and then they come out, and they're supposed to get involved in a protest. They're like, yeah, you guys have something to protest every single week. I can't keep up with it anymore. I like what I like, and that's all I know. I know you don't think that they're very good people, but they make a really good burger. That's kind of how I feel. Like, it's, dude, I love the Nuggets. From hell or high water, man, I'm not going to not watch the Nuggets. Whether it's DirecTV or I gotta see a guy about a thing. You know? Let me get in that link.
Well, they have, like, what, 8 primetime TV games this year on national TV?
Yeah, there you go. You have 8 right there. Oh, no, there's more than that. Isn't it, like, 13 or something?
But they don't have one till like, late November, I think.
Go to a friend's house.
Find a friend that has
find a friend, loser.
Just drive around the neighborhood and look at the top of the house. You see a DirecTV satellite.
Somebody's going to have it.
Knock on the door.
Yeah.
Let's be friends.
Hey, I got a cup
of sugar.
You like
basketball?
Yeah, hope it's on.
Do I have a deal for you?
I got a cup of sugar for you. Cup of sugar. Well, Kenny Swami, I too have DirecTV. Just being the Robin Hood of Dish subscribers. My ivory tower is perfect, by the way. I guess I just got to the point where it's like, dude, it sucks. I get it. But it ain't changing. So you can either complain or you can get DirecTV. They're all the same, aren't they? What does Comcast have that
channels,
DirecTV doesn't have? Yeah, same stuff.
Everything's streamed nowadays anyway.
DirecTV, dude, I have to buy new freaking subscriptions to all this crap all the time. To watch Amazon Prime, Netflix, Peacock. There's another one on there that we have.
Disney.
Oh, we have to freaking Disney. All these. And I'm like, I don't even watch 90% of the crap on here. But because they have one piece of the crap that I want to watch, I have to have this. Because you can't go buy DVDs anymore. They don't sell DVD sets of Stranger Things, do they?
What's a DVD?
Back in my day, you'd go to a giant basket at Walmart and it was a dollar. You'd just dive in there.
Didn't matter what you get. It's only a dollar.
Oh, I didn't even care. I'm like, this looks freaking good. Is that Sinbad? Sinbad's in this show. Yeah, hell yeah. He's a lawyer, but also a superhero? I'm in. It's a dollar, bro. And then you're watching it. You know it's crap, but you're like, this is good.
It was a dollar.
Yeah, it's hilarious. A lot of quips here. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. We have an announcement to make. We have to announce our winner. And B-Rad threw in a text there. Last shot. He was at the three-point line. He's down three. There's 4 seconds left. He dribbles down. Throws it up there. But it's not going to win it. It's not going to win the $50 gift certificate. I'm going to flip it here because sometimes your texts take me on a whole discussion that I can use for the show. I've already got the show planned out. It's already going to be fantastic. The best thing you're ever going to hear. But sometimes a texter will bring a topic to me and I can carry it for a segment. If you can do that, that's also something that goes into this. I'm flipping it around on you, Angel. We're going to go with the Weld County Swami today for Top Text Tuesday. He's got it! Weld County Swami, love you! Not really, but thank you for your text. That was great. You won a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Fantastic work. We had a whole segment. We had a 20-minute segment talking about how you guys just need to get over yourself and get DirecTV. Just make it. Brady, we can't. Just do it. No excuses. I don't care. Talk to somebody, man. Make it so. So thank you for that. You got a $15 gift certificate. Congratulations to the Weld County Swami. That's going to do it for us. It is Tuesday, which means we got Brew Talk coming up tonight at 5 o'clock, followed by the UNC Bears Coaches Show with our guys Blake Olson and Aaron Rath. We'll get to hear from Coach McCaffrey on that big win for the Bears. And yes, a significant win for the University of Northern Colorado. Back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.